Welcome, everybody, to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, and welcome to the show where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Our very special guest today is multi-instrumentalist, singer, and composer Wally Palmer of the Romantics. 1980s music legends, the Romantics, Wally Palmer, Mike Skill, Rich Cole, and Brad Elvis, best known for their mega-hit single, What I Like About You, are touring the U.S. in support of their forthcoming album to be released on KTEL Records, titled Up From the Rubble. While it's true that the Romantics took much of their simple thunder from the British invasion, their primary influence was the frenzied excitement of the late 60s Detroit rock scene. They cut their teeth on that high-energy sound characterized by the MC5, the Psychedelic Stooges, Bob Seger and the Last Heard, Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels, Scott Morgan's Rationals, SRC, and garage icons, the Underdogs, infusing it with sincerity, irony, spontaneity, and, of course, volume. The Romantics took the essence of this scene and translated it to suit their own modern experience. They favored short, brash songs, punk short hair, and popularized red leather suits. After releasing their own independent single in 1977, consisting of the first two songs they had written, Little White Lies and I Can't Tell You Anything, the Romantics traveled east to establish an audience. Soon after Bump Records, Greg Shaw sees them in Toronto and funds a single, which included Tell It to Carrie, First in Line, something of a stylistic matrix for the Romantics' music to come. The Romantics considered themselves well removed from the Sex Pistols' negativity. They didn't want rock and roll to go away. Rather, they want, as Skill tells a reporter in 79, to still have fun with three chords. The late 70s UK punk movement was then diluted and still misunderstood in America. Through constant touring over 3 years and meetings with CBS Brass, Nat Wise and Nemperor A&R reps, they signed with Nemperor Records in 1979. The original Romantics, Palmer, Skill, Cole, and Marinos released their debut LP, anchored by What I Like About You, When I Look in Your Eyes, and a cover of the Kinks' Ray Davies, She's Got Everything. The album is an exemplary pop rock period piece. The Romantics evoke a youthful portrait, haunting in its innocence, a direct contrast to the tough world they know in Detroit. Now, nearly 30-plus years later, they are still known for having created some of the most influential and beloved rock and roll of all time. The second record, National Breakout, in late 1980, featuring standouts Night Like This and Forever Yours, produced tours of Europe and Australia. Their third record, Strictly Personal, was released in 1981. In 83 through 84, they raised the bar with In Heat, the platinum album bearing two top 10 singles, Talking in Your Sleep and One in a Million, followed with a tour of Japan. In the late 1990s, the Romantics added current Blondie drummer Clem Burke to the lineup, and in 1994, they released a five-song EP titled Made in Detroit for Westbound Records, containing fellow Detroiter George Clinton's funkadelic songs, You and Your Folks, and I Want to Know, along with three originals. Later that year, the Romantics received an award for Outstanding Pop Rock Recording Artist from the Motor City Music Awards in 1992. 1995 saw the Romantics settle their seven-year-old lawsuit against their former management. 2011 brought the reemergence of original bass player vocalist Rich Cole and Mike Skill back on guitar. The band is now able to expand their set list and include more songs from their first two albums and include new and unreleased material. This now allows them to focus on more harmonies and get back to their original rock sound that established the Romantics from the beginning. Once again, much to the excitement of their fans worldwide, the Romantics, Palmer, Skill, Elvis, and Cole are touring the U.S. and Europe in support of the recently released singles from their highly anticipated new album release, Up From the Rubble, for summer 2016. It is my great pleasure to welcome Wally Palmer of the Romantics to the Ray Shasho Show. Wally, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, Ray, thank you very much for having me on here. And I got to say, before we go any further, what I just heard, you know, you talking about stuff, that's actually pretty impressive, you know, when you put all that together, even to me, because I didn't realize a lot of that stuff, you know, until I just heard it.
Well, it's good to remind the audience of all the great music, you know, the Romantics produced, and it's such a great period of music. And, you know, I really identified. I think that was probably one of the most eclectic periods was in the 1980s. You know, it came out with so many fresh new artists, and you guys were really part of that big time part of that scene in the 80s.
Well, you know what, Ray? What you said is exactly correct there, because even to this day now, it seems like the 80s music of that era, music from that era, is really, really popular now. And it's popular not with just the people who went through it, people who are in the grade school, high school, college, whatever, but also it's come around now to a younger audience who is also embracing that genre of music, you know, and it's just a great thing. And we see it when we go out and we do these shows, whether we're, you know, headlining or doing shows with ourselves and maybe the Smithereens and Tommy Two Tone or the Motels or Berlin, stuff like that. Or we're on this other tour this summer with Rick Springfield and Loverboy and sometimes Night Ranger, you know, just for all those shows, you see the crossover of people in the audience, and it's a real satisfying thing to be able to see older people as well as, I don't know if they're their kids or they're just, you know, newcomers, whatever it is, but it's a great thing.
Well, I'm really very excited that you guys are back. And when is the album Up From the Rubble, which is a great title, by the way? It just fits the situation just perfectly. When is the album going to be officially released?
We are still talking about that. Our main objective was for this to be out right at the very doorstep of this tour that we're where we're going to be opening up for Rick Springfield here.
Right.
And what is starting up on the West Coast coming up this weekend. The full album may not be up, but we have been putting out like two songs at a time ever since the end of last year. You know, so we're kind of leading into it, but not really quite sure. But it's going to be out sometime within the next month, I would say.
This has to be exciting for you. After 13 years or so, you're back in the studio again, you know, making some new music. What is the feeling around that, of being back?
Well,
in
you
the
know
studio?
How that happened, Ray. Mm-hmm. I'll explain that to you. We were we never really stopped writing and recording. We've
right.
always been in the studio, but we came across through some friends of ours. They came to us with an offer. They said, you know what, can you possibly go in the studio, record these songs, and we want to get these songs placed, licensed, let's just say, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And so we took them up on the offer, and from that offer came Daydream Believer and We Gotta Get Out of This Place, which we mm-hmm. just released a couple weeks ago. Then from then, we started to record, that was one session, but that session had four other songs that we kind of squeezed in there and were, you know, fooling around with. Then another session about a year after that with another four to six songs that we recorded. And so we kind of pieced it together, but that's only because we have been And I really don't want to bring this up, but I'll just say it very briefly. We've been in a litigation ever since 2011. So mm-hmm. this has been preventing us from getting things out at the speed and when we've wanted it to, and at the schedule that that we've wanted.
Right.
So, but we were able to do this now. And the way we said, we had no idea how, for instance, those two songs, for instance, Daydream Believer and We Got to Get Out of Space, how they were going to come out. But when we did them, obviously we did them our way, and we're pretty happy with the with the way they turned out. And the rest of the upcoming album will be equally as good, you know. And then, you know, then the originals that we also squeezed in there, too, for them. So it's kind of a combination of everything there. After 13 years, though, to get back to your question, you know, it feels great. We did have 2003 or 4 was the, yeah, you're right, that was the last release. You're right, you hit it right on the nose, Ray.
Awesome.
You know, yeah. So, you know, it's always interesting for us, but like I said, the main thing that prevented us from getting things out quicker, which we really wanted to, was this litigation, and it
right.
just took a lot of, we had to make ourselves available for that. And I forgot to mention one big thing is that we never really stopped being out on the road and doing shows and touring, which mm-hmm. thank God that there was still a calling for us, you know, and we were getting, you know, offers which we couldn't turn down. So we had to squeeze studio time in between that. So we tried to make it work as best as we could.
Right. Now the litigation, is that completely done? So you guys are able to move on now? Yeah.
Actually, as of this day, no, it's not.
It's still not.
But
okay.
I have to believe that we will be done with everything by the end of this year, by the end of
right.
2016.
Yeah, we definitely want to see hear more, a lot more music from the band, you know, because, you know, it's been a while.
Oh, sure. Ray, you know what? I mean, you know, when you go back to all the albums, the previous albums and stuff, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of even unreleased material there, but it's a pretty impressive body of work.
Yeah.
So, sure, it's spread out between, not between, but it's spread out over a span of, what 35 years or so.
Right.
But still, it's a pretty impressive body of work, and we know that once we get in there, you know, to write and then record our ideas, our songs, that I think our fans, you know, will really appreciate it. And then we feel real good about it because we're on a creative end and we're working. And then we, you know, hopefully we'll pick up more and more fans, especially
right.
the way music is nowadays and the way radio is and everything else. You have to, you know, you've got to get in there and you've got to show people that you're still, you know, out there writing, recording, and touring.
Yeah, and the tour that you have now, it's a pretty lengthy tour. I mean, you just finished up in Kansas City, Jackson County's 4th of July. How did that go? Who else was on the bill for that show?
Members of the, I'll go from bottom to top, members of the Coast Guard, National Guard,
mm-hmm.
Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. They were
oh,
all
wow.
represented. They were all represented on stage.
Uh-huh.
It was a real nice event. You know, they were on before us, and they were, and the crowd there was just showing their appreciation for the armed forces, which we all should, anyways. You know, God knows.
Right.
And so it was very touching in that matter. And then we came on and we made a little bit of noise, and you know, and invited some people up on stage with us to help us out with our with our set. And then when we got everybody off, then the fireworks were on after that. So it was a very nice evening. It was really good.
Yeah, it sounds like a great gig.
Yeah, and then before that, we were out, we had shows with Rick Springfield the two
yep.
previous nights prior to that, one in outside of Chicago and the other one outside of Akron, Ohio. So now it's continuing on to the West Coast. We've got almost 2 weeks worth of shows there, and then we're bringing it out east also. And somehow they want us to go out and do this some pop festival in Brussels, Belgium, in August.
Oh, great!
So we're
going to
go out and do that.
Yeah, I know some people out in Belgium. There's a site called Keys and Chords in Belgium. It's a big music site over there.
Oh, I got to write that down.
Yeah, I'll have to tell him. As a matter of fact, after we do this show, you know, what we do, I put this on YouTube, and it's on iTunes as well, and I send him the link, and I have a show. He follows my show over in Belgium, so they'll be able to advertise that show for you over there. So,
well, you know what? I can tell you that it's wait a minute. I have to look up. I believe it's August, like 19th or 20th.
Okay.
That we're playing there.
Great. I'll make sure he's probably already knows about it to start promoting it, but I'll remind him.
Well, when you talk to him, invite him down for me. Have him bring some Belgian chocolate and some waffles at home.
Definitely. Well, it's a great tour, and I'm impressed. I mean, you got Rick Springfield on some of the gigs. You got the Smithereens. I think I saw 38 Special on a couple of gigs as well.
They're on there too. But
yeah,
you know, Ray, I'm just going to stop you right here because here's the thing. It's, you know, we're in support of Rick Springfield. Let's get, you know, we have to get that straight because Rick is the headliner. He's the guy
right.
who draws, and he's the great rock and roller. You know, I got nothing but praise for him,
mm-hmm.
And he really, he's a super nice guy, and he brings it every night. And so, you know, everybody's all amped up. But like you're saying, between Rick and then ourselves and Loverboy, and on some of the shows is
yep.
Night Ranger, and some are 38 Special. You know, we also have that group of shows, but then we branch off, and then we do these other shows with, you know, like us, the Smithereens, Tommy Two Tone, Marshall
mm-hmm.
Crenshaw's on some of them, Berlin's on some of them, Motels are on some of them.
That's great.
You know, so, and then
yeah.
the Fix are on some of these shows too. So it's you know, it's really interesting, and it's a really good vibe, and it keeps things going in a good positive direction.
Sure. Well, then also when you start the new year, February 11th through the 18th, there's the 80s Cruise, and that's got a headline that's Cheap Trick, Belinda Carlisle, Survivor, Debbie Gibson, Morris Day and the Time, Colin Hay of Men at Work, Howard Jones, Berlin, The Romantics, Men Without Hats, Farrington and Mann, the original, When in Rome, and Tiffany, among others. That's a tour that's going with Cozumel, Grand Cayman, Ochos Rios, the Bahamas. Wow, that's awesome, man.
Are you kidding me, Ray? Listen, with all those bands and stuff that you just named, right, and all those eagles from all those bands, that boat's going to sink. Are you kidding me?
I know. It's the Woodstock of the high seas, I guess. You know?
Yeah, but
I
you're, more than welcome, you're more than welcome to come out, Ray, if you want to.
I love those cruises. Have you been on these cruises before? Doing
gigs? I gotta tell you this. No, listen, Ray. It's not that I'm afraid of boats because I've, you know, God knows we've been on them. We've even played on them here in Detroit and stuff.
Right.
Whatever. But I've never really been on a cruise, just a plane cruise, just to go with, to any island or anything like that. I haven't been on one. But then the thought of being on a cruise with all those, you know, with all the people for like 5-7 days, I guess it's okay. But for me, I'm kind of, you know, the kind of guy who likes to just get to where I want to go and get there quick and stay there and not
right.
move around to, you know. So, but this is going to be one hell of a cruise, though. And obviously it's going to be a great time because the music's going to be great, you know.
Oh, so. Yeah. Just to hang out with your peers, you know, from the 80s. You know, just to hang out with all the other bands and, you know, catch up. It's pretty cool.
Well, the
as
best
well.
Thing about that is we can run up their bar tabs. It's great.
Yeah. That's going to be a week of partying for sure for everybody. For everybody.
It'll be a lot of fun. Sure.
Oh, will. A lot
yeah.
of fun.
Great fun. Yeah.
Are you guys, you think, I don't know, maybe after the litigation's over, you think you guys are going to be doing more touring overseas? I know you're doing Belgium. You think you're going to be, because, you know, Europe, you know, they're starving for bands like you. You know what I mean? And you know, it's just that these guys seem a little more in tune. they're still honoring those bands from the 80s and the 70s and the 60s, and, you know, really get excited. They really get excited.
Ray, you hit it right on the nose there again, because, and this is not to say anything bad about anybody anywhere, but you do notice, just like you said, that out in Europe, mm-hmm. once a band or an artist builds a fan base, that fan base is essentially there with them for the remainder of their career.
Right.
Whereas sometimes in other countries, which I'm not going to pinpoint, everything comes at people really quick, and then it gets erased and it disappears. You know,
exactly.
It's very fly by night. It just comes and goes.
Right.
When we're there, you have a real loyal fan base, and they do follow you, and they really appreciate what you're doing. You know, once again, not saying that they don't anyplace else in the world, mm-hmm. but that is a great example of a great fan base there.
Well, some of those countries, they treat you like, you know, it's back in the 80s again. You know, like nothing's changed. You know, and I've heard that from other bands. That's why they, you know, I know it's expensive to go touring through Europe, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, if you don't have too many bandmates, it's not too bad, I guess. Just don't take an orchestra with you.
Well, exactly. You know, which at this point, we're still a year or two away from having a full string quartet or anybody else or a horn section join us, you know. So. I'll let you know when we do, though. I'll call you up and let you know, Ray.
Oh, that'll be awesome, because I can still see some more big hits from the band, you know, forthcoming. I really can, because, you know, you guys kind of fit in a lot of genres today, really. You know, you could fit right in, you know, and I could see.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's one thing that, you know, we do is this is over the years, obviously, and it's, you know, not just us, but almost any band, with when the longevity factor comes into play, you establish yourself as a writer and an artist, and and so what you write and what you record, you establish your identity, and so it's a certain style of music, you know, and we essentially, over the years, it's, you know, we sound like the Romantics. We don't sound like anybody else.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's just something that's developed, and one thing that you said early on, we were born in Detroit, all mm-hmm. of us were when we started the band. So, and we're all about the same age, and we grew up essentially on AM radio.
Okay. Yep.
So you're talking, you know, you're talking us at that point in the, you know, mid to late 60s. And you've got a ton of Motown, obviously, because, you know, here in Detroit, so they played favorite to, you know, to that music. But then we were also, you know, we got opened up to all those, like we said, Bob Seger, Mitch Ryder, you know, for instance, the Rationals and that, and then eventually the MC5 and the Stooges and all that. And so you put all that together in a blender, you know, and it's embedded in everyone's DNA here from the band.
Right.
He put us together in the studio when we started to write and record. That's what came out.
You know, I always thought that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should have been in Michigan, because Michigan did so much for music. Like you said, Motown, all the garage bands that came out of there, you know.
Yeah.
And I still believe that. It should have came from Michigan.
Well,
Michigan did a lot for music.
I mean, you know, it is where it is. It's, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure every city around, you know, around the U.S. would, you know, would fight for it to be there. But, you know, it is what it is. The coined phrase rock and roll apparently came out of Cleveland, so we'll just leave it at that.
We'll just leave it at that, right?
Yeah, no, Cleveland's a great place, too. I mean, for us,
yeah.
it's only 2.5
yeah.
hours away. Are you kidding?
True.
When we used to start playing, that was one of the first places we'd go to. Because
yeah.
it was that close for us to jump
yeah.
in a van and go.
Yep. I've talked to a lot of artists from the Michigan area and friends with, you know, I've talked to Susie Quattro. She was
great.
You know, really cool lady. I'm friends with Pete Rivera from Rare Earth, you know, the original drummer and singer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Michigan. Yeah. And, of course, Mark Farner from Flint, Michigan, you know.
Oh, Mark's still great. Are you kidding
He's still
me?
Great, yeah. Good guy.
He sings really great and he plays great, yeah.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You know, when you look back, like you go on YouTube and you look back in the 80s at your style and everything, what are you thinking now? I mean, who did you guys go out and create that look, or did you were you naturally sported that look back in the 80s?
Well, the one thing we wanted to do when we started was kind of differentiate ourselves, not just by music, but also by giving ourselves a look. And, you know, back in the in the early, well, not the early 70s, but, you know, back in, like, the mid-70s, we started in 77, let's just say, you know, we were trying to go for an alternate to what was out there. And at that point, there was a lot of, let's just say, longish hair, you know, with bell bottoms and all this other, you know, and this, and maybe platforms may have been on their way out or something. So we wanted to go kind of opposite that. Not that, okay, here we go. Not that there's anything wrong with that, you know. But, you know, and so when we were, it's a crazy story because we were walking, the four of us were walking through this one city here in Detroit, and we were passed by a Salvation Army store, and sure enough, you know, it's going to sound like it was written, but it was not written. In the window, there's four orange suits hanging there. But there may have been five, but anyways, we only took four of them. There were four orange suits, the kind of iridescent, you know, 60s style and that, mm-hmm. which at that point was only 10, 12 years prior to that. And we looked at each other and said, man, we should, that'd be cool to wear those. You know, we'll get them, see how they fit, we'll get them tailored up, whatever. We started out with that, and there came the, you know, maxi suits came from that, and it was real interesting. And we got pictures documented from when we first got them and started to wear them. And then eventually, you know, we moved down with the objective was leather, except we couldn't afford leather at that time, so we wore vinyl. Vinyl was a lot cheaper, so we had somebody cut and, you know, make pants and stuff for us out of vinyl. Eventually, when we got signed, we decided to go and invest money in some red leather outfits, and we got those tailor made. And I was look, hey, you know, listen, being from Detroit, what did we see on TV all the time? The Motown band, Four right. Tops, Temptations, all matching suits and stuff. We got that. Turn on the TV, see the Beatles matching suits. It was only a natural.
Mm-hmm. Well, it worked. It definitely worked, and thank God you saw it in the window. You know, it was a sign.
Yeah. Well, you know, we still got those suits too. At least I do.
Yeah. They'll probably end up in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah, they just might, I guess.
They do. Yeah. You co-wrote "What I Like About You," right?
Yeah, I've been a co-writer on. Mm-hmm. Essentially everything that the band has ever written and put out.
Right. How did that song come together? I mean, what was the spark that got you to put that song together?
Well, listen, we did... the song was written back in the... back when we were still doing the clubs. We weren't signed yet in that. And at that point, the Romantics, each guy in the band was capable of singing lead.
Right.
Was a lead vocalist, essentially, you know. And so, you know, Mike sang lead. I sang on a ton of songs, a bass player Rich, too, and our drummer Jimmy also. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and we started to work this song. He wanted to do something that was very simple, straight to the point, that he could, a good, simple rock and beat that would be easy for him to sing. And so we just kind of we wrote this song. You know, came up with the chords and the beat and this and that, and slowly started to put it together. And it took its, I mean, we have tapes of it in different shapes and forms. And then, but eventually when we got in the studio, it got fine-tuned, and the recording was done there. And it was just, you know, when you heard the playback on it, you knew there was something special about it.
Yeah.
It was just magic, you know, and it just worked.
How did it first, you know, get the airplay where it just took off? I mean, was it like one DJ played it and the rest is history, or How did it get it?
Well, I'll tell you what. We got the most noise out of that over in Europe.
See?
And it was in the Netherlands.
Wow.
that the song caught fire in like Germany and that pocket right there in the Netherlands.
Right.
And I remember them contacting us, CBS, the record label, which boy, was CBS, Epic Portrait Associated Labels, that was us, and we were on Emperor Records. So they contacted us, and our label management said, listen, this song is really catching fire out there in the Netherlands. They don't have any footage on the band. Keep in mind, this was pre-MTV.
Right.
So, and in Europe at that time, they've been having, video vehicles to promote songs. They've been doing that since the 60s, you know. But here in the States, we really weren't doing that then. So they had no footage on the band, but the song was climbing. They sent over a film crew. They filmed us doing What I Like About You and When I Look in Your Eyes. We were in L.A., I believe it was at either the Roxy or the Whiskey, one of the two. And they took that footage, total live footage, stock, I guess, and they took it there, and it worked, and it catapulted that song into the top five. I'm not really sure how high up it went, but needless to say, you know, it did really well out there. Then they brought us out there to do a festival and stuff and some television shows. So it caught on there, but then it started to climb here somehow, and we broke the top 40, and it was getting good, you know, good, decent airplay. You know, and then keep in mind, at that time, for instance, I believe My Sharona was
right
at the top of the charts, and we barely broke the top 40 with What I Like About You. But, you know.
I was a DJ back then. I was a top 40 disc jockey doing, I played all those songs.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for doing
it. It was a great time for music. It really was. You know, you like I said, it was a very eclectic time. When My Sharona came out, I mean, you had Blondie, the Cars, you had disco was in, you know, with Donna Summer, and you had Zeppelin, a little bit of Zeppelin was on. I mean, it was a great
sure.
time. Yeah, it really
yeah,
was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good time for music.
Yeah.
Now, What I Like About You had been a big money maker for you guys. It was been played on everything. I mean, we're talking classic rock radio. It's a frequent rotation. The song with the LA Dodgers is a regular song for the Dodgers. Barbie Toy Doll, SeaWorld, TGI Friday Restaurants, TV commercials, Hampton Inn, Assurance, Papa John's Pizza, Disney. Am I missing? There's so many
sure.
different avenues sure. that this song has been played, and they even made a TV show, Amanda Bynes, right?
Yes, exactly. They did, Ray. Oh,
yeah.
But you also missed. It was in Shrek too. So
that's right.
It was there somewhere in that, and now it's also it has turned up on the. If you go to the store and buy. Any Coke product, whether it be, you know, Coke
right.
or Diet Coke, or they have their song titles on the side of the can or the
mm-hmm.
bottle. We made it on that, too. So there you go.
And I just heard what the new Rock Band 4 announced, three new songs, and one of them was What I Like About You as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I heard that as well.
I didn't know that. Now I'm going to have to go check into that one, too.
I see dollar signs.
Well, you know, you always got to check up on things and make sure everything's legit. So
yeah, I know. You know, people don't.
Great thing. Hey, Ray,
people don't realize that. You know, like I talked to Pete from Rare Earth. You know, which you know, I just want to celebrate. Got a lot of, using movies and in commercials and things like that. But you know, if you don't write this song, you don't get nearly as much money as just performing the song. It's a big
yeah.
difference. Song, that's why songwriters make so much money.
Well, you know what? It's that is very true. But it's also now that the music industry is in a huge fight trying to be able to collect money from all the different sources, and whether
of collecting from all the online streaming and everything else, where, you know, so the artists can get paid.
Right.
You know, so the guys who went and recorded the stuff can get paid, not just the writers, but the guys who, you know, who were on the songs when they recorded it. So they're in a big fight with that, and they're getting better at it, and I hope they get a lot better. Put it that way.
It's been a big struggle since Napster came out, you know. And
yes, it has.
Yeah, it has been. You know, what I always wonder, you know, I love YouTube, but I can see how artists might, you know, get a little upset about it. Like, a new album comes out, and a couple of weeks later, that whole album's on YouTube. Now, do you guys not get any money for that, or is YouTube paying you guys if somebody puts, you know, your material on YouTube?
The amount, I am not sure of, and how diligent they are, I am not sure of at this point, Ray. I'd have to do a little bit more homework on my end, though. But I can tell you, though, that the people, you know, they're getting really, really aggressive at going after and collecting money, which is what they should do.
Sure.
They should do this. And, you know, we have nothing against anybody enjoying music, but I am all for the people who go in there and spend their time and sweat and do the recordings, and obviously the people who write the songs. I'm all for them getting paid so they can make a living off this too.
Exactly. Yeah, because you know you can't, you know, your music is not spotlighted like it used to be, like on mainstream radio. You know what I mean? Mainstream radio has got a totally different taste nowadays of music.
Sure.
And it's hard. It's hard to get airplay. It really is.
Yeah. Oh no, it definitely is. You know. So this is the state of what, you know, the state of the union, so to speak. This is where we are right now. And like I said, we're off. You know, we're off to Phoenix. Everyone's going to congregate there tonight, and then we kick off the next segment of this tour. With Rick Springfield, Lover Boy, and Night Ranger, and 38 Special.
The other
and
song
the
other song that you guys, I think it hit number 3 U.S. It was your biggest hit. Was Talking in Your Sleep, and that to me, you know, when I hear that song, I just think of the whole decade, because it's a fantastic song. It's a great tune.
Well, you know what, we did that. That song, actually, I'll just go very briefly into this, was the last song that was finished and recorded for the album In Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we had all the other songs were essentially done, but we knew this from pre-production that we had a great rhythm track for it, and we just didn't quite finish it off, and we had it, and it was too good for us not to at least lay down the rhythm track for it in the studio when we did all the other songs. So we did it there, and at the end, when everything else was said and done, everyone looked at each other, and the producer said, "We got to finish this song up. It's just too good a track." So we did it, worked at it, finished it up within a day or so, went in, recorded it, and that was the last song done, but it was the lead track off the album. And it was very, and that was, you know, it was big here in the States for us, but and it was also a big international song too.
Yeah, it's also a hot video.
Well, listen, that song. Well, the video, well, it was done here in Detroit, and you know we got it from out of town, and they had it all set up for us in advance. When we got up the next day, went in, we shot the video, and there's a bunch of girls walking around in their negligees or sleeping attire is a better term to use. Okay, let's use that term. That's better. You know, so it was an enjoyable day of recording, I guess is what you could say. And that video got a lot of got us a lot of airplay on MTV because that was already big at that time, and it worked around the world too. And that song got us on. We're on American Bandstand again, and we're on Solid Gold, you know, a couple of times, and we're even on Soul Train, you know, doing talking.
That's right, and that's unusual. Not too many white bands get on Soul Train.
You're absolutely right about that. It's a good thing they didn't put us through that segment and make us dance our way through the crowd. Good thing they didn't do it.
Yeah, I saw that clip of you guys on with Dick Clark doing the interview.
Yeah,
you know, with the thick, tall hair and the leather. Yeah, you guys look pretty cool there.
It was all part of the promotion.
Yep.
And in turn, it was all part of us. You know.
Was it true that you guys came up with your name like around Valentine's Day or something like that? That's what I read on the internet.
Well, it may not be necessarily 100% correct in that, but it sure made for great press, though, I'll tell you that.
Good press, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they say it was formed on Valentine's Day, 1977, in Detroit. That's what
we got together.
Well, when you named the band the Romantics.
That sounds right.
That sounds right.
Dave.
Okay.
Once again, you hit it on the nose.
we'll keep that one.
Keep that one. That's great.
You're talking about a lot of your early influences, of course, in Detroit, and you were able to go to the Kick Out the Jams, which was a tribute to Rob Tyner, the State Theater in Detroit. What was that like?
Well, I mean, it was all great. It was we were very fortunate and proud to be asked to be able to come and do that, because it was an unfortunate situation there where Rob Tyner had just passed away, you know.
Right.
Way too young, way too early, you know. So, and for us to be able to go and do that, we were very happy to be able to add to it. And with our with ourselves being there, hopefully, generate some, you know, some money for the cause, in other words, by us being there. So it was a great event. I still remember. We got a great poster from it also. Yeah.
Yeah, MC5 was, they were one of those kind of underrated bands, you know, from that era. They were a great band, really, really good band.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You go pull up, you know, go to YouTube and pull up their, you know, footage of them playing, and you'll see where a lot of the quote-unquote Detroit energy, comes from.
Now, you came, you put together another band called the Empty Hearts, which was very, almost like a mini super group, because you had Clem Burke, I guess, was a drummer. You had the guitars from the Cars, and I think you also had Ian from the Faces, the Small Faces, was, you know, I guess before he passed away.
Yes, that was one of his. That was one of Ian's last recordings, you know. And it's, great guy and great player, more so than anything, but a great person for the short time that I really knew him. And, it was a great experience, and it's documented, and it's great to be part of that. And like you said, Clem is on the album, Elliot's the guitar player from the Cars, and a good friend, Andy Bebuke, who played with the band called the Chesterfield Kings, you know, and stuff. And, another great group of guys, and it was an idea that just blossomed, and we're able to go in the studio and just write and record, and... it was a great time doing that too.
Now, was that were you actually thinking about the band going forward, or after Ian passed away, was that kind of the end of things?
No. It kind of takes, you know, the way things are now, things run the course that they do, and keep in mind that, you know, you have, when you have guys that are in other bands that are still actually functioning. You know, I mean, with as many shows and projects that we still have with the Romantics, this was understood by everybody that,
right.
and even Clem with Blondie, you know, they just got done recording, and they were out doing festivals in Europe last year and stuff. So you have to revolve around, you know, schedules of the individuals who have, other bands, which are essentially their bread and butter.
Right.
So, and that was a kind of an understanding that we had and still is to this day. And if there's anything that we can possibly do, or if people are curious about, you know, hearing us or, you know, whatever, we get wind of it and we try and accommodate.
You know, there's a lot of collaborations nowadays, which I think is really cool. You know, cutting an album with this guy and another guy, you know, and then going, you know, just going outside the realm of, you know, their home base band and experimenting, you know, with
sure.
different, which is cool. I think that's awesome, you know, because we're getting a lot more music that way from great artists.
I think you're absolutely right about that.
And
there's so many different, you know, there is a lot of that going on now. You know,
yeah.
And it's not that there always, you know, there always has been to a certain extent, but I guess what you're saying, Ray, though, is that you see more and more of it now. And once again, it's a good thing.
It's a great thing. And I think you're one of those artists that I could see doing a lot more of that, because you kind of stepped out. You got to tour with Ringo, right, and the All-Star Band. Was that back in 2010, 2011, somewhere around there?
Well, yeah, 2010 and 2011.
Yeah.
Yes, it was those 2 years. I don't know, 2012 it was not, but 2010 and 2011. Are you kidding? You know, come on. For myself, Ray, just to be on stage, and then where I was on stage was, you know, the way they had it set up was myself and Rick Derringer parted, then Ringo would come right in the middle of the two of us and come up there and sing, and then when he didn't want to sing or when he wanted to go back and play drums, he'd go back and play drums, and just being on stage with them was, you know, fantastic. It's just a really great experience, because once again, here's another guy who's just a great person, you know, and just a funny guy, and he's great, and he's very, and he's just a, you know, he's a generous person.
Mm-hmm.
But best of all, just a wonderful guy, that's all. He's a damn good drummer, too. Because
he is a good drummer.
Yeah. Turn around and you watch him play. Come on. He's playing on What I Like About You. He's playing on Talking in Your Sleep. And this guy's nailing it. He's not just going through. He's hitting the drums. He's back to rocking. You know, good thing.
Yeah, I saw the tour several times, and I was fortunate enough to cover and be a guest of the band for the last tour that came over here in Clearwater, you know, with Greg Rowley of Santana, who I've interviewed before, and of course Todd Rundgren, who's always in the band. But they're a tight band. I mean, it's a remarkable when you watch the band live. It's almost like, you know, it's like perfect. I mean, the production, everything is just like perfect. There's no mistakes.
Well,
you
know, the one thing with those bands is you know, with any band, though, this particular band he's got out now has been together for about 4 years, I think. So
right. That,
you know, the more you play, obviously, you know, everything gets to be more cohesive and everything's second nature. You know what's coming up. You know who's going to do what. And it's just, you know, it just makes sense that way. You know, and that happens, you know, it's happening with that band, but that happens with almost any band you put together, too, right? After enough rehearsal and stuff, you know, it just gets better and better, hopefully.
I think it's great just to see the talent, you know, just the all-stars, you know, from all these bands. And I mean, you really get your money's worth, you know.
Oh, it's good. Sure, it's good, great.
I love the way they present that. It's really awesome. Here's a question, Wally. I ask everybody that I interview, and I get some very interesting answers.
Yeah.
If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like Field of Dreams the movie, to perform with or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
From the past or present?
Yep, they could be gone already. It's, you know.
Oh, are you kidding? I've got so many heroes. How would I even? You know what? I was at this one party when Ringo. You know what? We're just talking about Ringo, and I just realized today's the 7th, isn't it?
Yes.
That's his birthday today.
Oh, is today Ringo's birthday? Huh.
Yep. How about that?
How about that? The last time I could, when I covered the show, it was his birthday too, because everybody wished him happy birthday. Huh?
Well,
how
listen,
about that?
Yeah. See, so, but I'll just tell you this: the way to answer that question for me would be when I'll get his birthday, because we played in 2010. I was at his that was his, I believe, 70th birthday or something, and he had a little get together when we played in New York City. Right, we played in New York City, and after the end, whoever was there, a bunch of his friends and people flew in and stuff. So he had a like a party afterwards. And for me to get together with any one of those people that were there, I mean, you know, McCartney was there. You know, talk a little bit with him. That would be obviously fantastic. Future, he's left-handed. I'm left-handed.
Yeah,
that's why I started
right.
playing guitar in the first place. You know. Jeff Lynne, for instance, was there. I love his stuff.
Keith
Richards was there. Are you kidding? All those bands from that era. You know, I have way too many to pinpoint. You know, like anybody from, you know, from like the Yardbirds, the Who, the Kinks, you know, Ray Davies and such. You know, Beatles, Stones. I could go on and on, but not really anybody that, not any one person. I couldn't probably name one over the other.
Who's the one guy or group or that may have influenced you as a kid that, you know, pick up a guitar and want to be a performer, that kind of thing?
Well, I kind of touched on them a little bit there when you know, from hearing all this stuff here on the radio, but then watching, you know, for instance, watching Sunday Night Ed Sullivan and seeing the Beatles on there and stuff, and that was. And that was a huge one. That was really big right there. And then eventually seeing the Rolling Stones, that really cemented it right there too.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, because you guys. The Romantics have that kind of, you know, you got the goody-goody bands, and then you got the guys with kind of the raw edge, and I think the Romantics had that, you know. I wouldn't say punk, but I would say, you know, hard edge, kind of like, kind of a Stones kind of thing, feel to it, you know what I mean? Where you guys are a cool band, you know what I mean? Not a pop band, but a cool band, you know?
Right.
Which is what I like. Like, just like the Animals were back in the 60s. They were a cool band.
Another great band. And I forgot to mention them, you know?
Yeah.
Another great band. Oh. Well, hell, you know, we got to get out of this place, which the Animals didn't write it, but they did the definitive recording of it, you know. So, like I said, and we were just talking about them the other day, and the amount of all the stuff that Eric Burden did with all the different versions of the Animals and that, and great songs, great performances. Yeah.
Well, where can we hear that song? I mean, that in the Monkees. You said they were released. Is that on iTunes or where can we get that? They're on iTunes.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, on iTunes and. What else it's on? It's got to be on something else. It can't just be on iTunes.
Okay. I didn't see it on YouTube yet. I didn't see anything.
I mean, I don't have to go look for it because I got a copy of it here.
Well, Billy should send me a copy.
You're
I didn't get
absolutely
anything.
Right. Yes, he should.
I'm going to ask him. I'll ask him for it because I like. I'm going to send him a I'm going to send a copy of that to Eric's manager. Because I know Eric's manager, and I've dealt with Eric for a while. I'm going to send him a copy of that.
Oh, so fantastic singer, too. Hey, listen, Ray, I have to do this. I have to tell you something, though. I have about 40 minutes before the guy comes to pick me up to go to the airport.
You better get ready, then.
Well, I mean, I kind of hate to cut this short because I'm having such a good time talking here, but I'm not sure, because you may have some other stuff that you want to touch on.
Well, we can, I think we have like 10 minutes before, about 10 minutes. We'll have to fill it in somehow, or else maybe we can call you back for just a 10-minute interview, just to fill in the rest.
No, that'd be fine. I'm just getting concerned, because I still have to go to the bank, and I got to pick up float money so we can pay the guys the fees and stuff, and I haven't done that yet.
Well, I'll talk to Billy and see if we can maybe just do a quick 10-minute just to kind of wrap it up, I guess. But
I would be more than happy to, because I don't know if Delta Airlines, I'm not sure if Delta will cooperate that much to push back the actual flight.
No, you don't want to do that. Did you get the pass for the TSA? Did you guys get the pass where you can just walk through? You don't have to wait in line? Good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Wally, I want to thank you so much, man, for being on the show today. We're looking forward definitely to the new album and the U.S. tour. I did not see any Florida dates, so think about that.
Well, we haven't. The closest we're going to get right now, for instance, with the Rick Springfield tour is going to be Atlanta right now. So unless something happens, I'm sure we'll let you know if we get, and I'm sure you'll find out about it if it does.
Yeah, we just have to keep updated on your website, on the Romantics website, and
I guess we'll have to do it that way.
Right.
I just wish I didn't have to go. I wish I had like an extra hour right now.
Wally, have a great tour, man, and like I said, we can't wait for the new album to be released, which is hopefully going to be released here. Did you say this month for sure, or is it the beginning of August?
Probably. Well, either by the end of this month or at the beginning of August.
Okay, great. I'll keep everybody informed where to get it and everything. Again, have a great tour, and I appreciate you being with us today.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know what else, though, Billy? Ray, listen, if you talk to me, if you want to set something up, I'll be available even, tomorrow in the early afternoon. I'll be available. Monday is a day off, too, for us. So it's up to you.
Okay. We'll see if we need more time. I'll check with the engineer, and we'll take it from there.
All right?
All right, Wally. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Okay, Ray. Thanks much.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Visit the Romantics official website for concert dates and information about their new release entitled Up From the Rubble at www.romanticsdetroit.com. Also visit the Romantics on Facebook, www.facebook.com/romanticsdetroit. And you can also visit the Romantics on Twitter, twitter.com/romanticsrock. For more information about the 80s cruise, visit www.the80scruise.com. Very special thanks to the great Billy James of Glass Onion PR for arranging this interview, and to Don and Doug Newsom with BBS Radio for making it all happen every show. Join me bi-weekly Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on The Ray Shasho Show, call 941-877-1552 or email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. And don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, or the second edition entitled Wacky Shenanigans on F Street, available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it. Have a great weekend. A great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans, we shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio, Station 1.